I thought about the charring along the tail end of the gas envelope. They might be chewing up the shell, too.
I'll get on it,
she fairly shouted, then started up the passageway back to her lab. She looked as if she were fleeing from me. So I'm pushing her, I thought. But we've got to know. If those bugs are eating our spacesuits and the ship itself, we've got to get out of here, and fast. I stood there for a dithering moment, not certain of what I should do next. What could I do except prod other people to do the things that I can't do myself? I decided to go up to the bridge, but halfway there I bumped into Yates, who was hurrying down the passageway in the opposite direction. Anything new? I asked.
All bad, she said as she squirmed past me.
Her body felt soft and actually pleasurable as she pressed by. I wondered how a man's gonads could assert themselves even when his brain was telling him he's in deep trouble.
What is it?
I called after her.
No time,
she shouted back, hurrying even faster. I'd never before seen her move at anything more than a languid stroll. Shaking my head in exasperation as much as disbelief, I made my way to the bridge. Deschamps and Rodriguez were both there. Good, I thought.
We can't pressurize the gas envelope until we can determine its structural integrity,
Deschamps was saying in the kind of stilted cadence that I knew was meant for the ship's log.
The leak rate is small at present, but growing steadily. If it's not stopped, it will affect the ship's trim and cause an uncontrollable loss of altitude.
She looked up at me as I stopped in the open hatchway. Jabbing a finger on the chair arm's stud that turned off the recorder, she asked impatiently,
Well?
We've got to get out of these clouds, I said. The bugs out there are eating the ship. Deschamps arched her brows.
I don't have time for theories. We've developed a leak in the gas envelope. It's minor, but it's growing.
The shell's leaking?
My voice must have gone up 2 octaves.
It's not serious, Rodriguez said quickly.
I turned to him.
We've got to get out of these clouds. You are out there, Tom. The bugs...
I make the decisions here, Deschamps snapped.
Now wait a minute, I said.
Before I could go further, she said,
With all deference to your position as owner of this vessel, Mr. Humphreys, I am the captain, and I will make the decisions. This isn't a debating society.
We're not going to take a vote on the subject. We've got to get out of these clouds, I insisted.
I totally agree, she said. As soon as we can repair the leak in the envelope, I intend to go deeper and get below this cloud deck.
Deeper?
I glanced at Rodriguez, but he was saying nothing.
Have you forgotten Fuchs? The IAA just sent word that he's descending rapidly toward the clear air below the clouds.
The prize money didn't look all that enticing to me, compared to the very strong possibility that we would all be killed if the bugs chewed away enough of the ship. Rodriguez spoke up at last.
Mr. Humphreys, we can't make an effective decision until we know how badly the gas envelope's been damaged.
It's really very minor, Deschamps said.
But then she added, at present.
But it's getting worse, Rodriguez said.
Slowly, she insisted.
As long as we stay in these clouds, we're going to have colonies of Venusian organisms feasting on our ship's metals and minerals, I retorted hotly.
This is no time to panic, Mr. Humphreys, she said.
I thought it over for half a second.
I could fire you and appoint Tom captain.
That would be tantamount to mutiny, she snapped.
Wait, Rodriguez said. Wait, both of you. Before anybody goes off the deep end, let's repair the envelope and get back in proper condition.
Do we have time for that? Deschamps said coldly.
May I point out that Fuchs is diving deeper while we fiddle around here? If your bugs are eating our ship, why aren't they eating his?
What makes you think they're not?
I know Lars, she said with a thin smile. He's no fool. If he thought he was going into more danger by descending, he wouldn't go down.
I glanced from her to Rodriguez to Risa, sitting wide-eyed at her comm console, then back to Deschamps.
All right, I said finally. I'm going back to the biolab to help Marguerite determine if the bugs caused the damage to our suits. How long will it take you to repair the leak in the hull?
Several hours, Deschamps said.
Yates is suiting up now with Akira. They're going to start the work from inside the shell, Rodriguez said. It'll be safer that way.
But they'll still be exposed to the bugs, won't they? I asked.
I mean, if the outside air is leaking into the shell, the bugs are coming in with it.
Deschamps said flatly.
That's assuming you're right, and it's the bugs that damaged your suits.
You can't let them stay out too long, I insisted. If the bugs do eat the suits...
The fabric is self-repairing, Deschamps said.
The joints aren't, I pointed out. There was one quick and dirty way to test whether the bugs were eating the suit material, Marguerite and I decided. I hacked off a small section of the Cermet knee joint to my damaged suit to serve as an experimental guinea pig. It wasn't easy. The Cermet was tough. I had to scrounge an electric saw from the ship's stores to do the job. Then I brought it to Marguerite's lab, where she had set up a spare insulated cooler as an incubator for the Venusian organisms. But when I brought the Cermet sample to her, she was downcast.
"They're dying," Marguerite said,
as miserable as if it was her own child expiring. But I thought,
"I've tried to duplicate their natural environment as closely as I can," she said,
as much to herself as to me.
"I've kept the temperature inside the cooler just above freezing, right about where it was in the clouds. I've lowered the air pressure and even sprayed it with extra sulfuric acid. But it's not working. Every sample I take shows them weakening and dying."
I handed her the ragged little square of Cermet I'd cut out. "Well, here, get this into the cooler with them and let's see what happens before they all die." She had done a remarkable job of jury-rigging what had once been a spare cooler unit into a laboratory apparatus. The lid was sealed against air leaks, although there were half a dozen sensor wires and two small tubes going through the sealant into the cooler's interior. All in all, it looked very much like the makeshift contraption that it was, the kind of thing that scientists call a kludge. I once heard of such devices being named after someone named Rube Goldberg, but I never found out why. Looking worried, Marguerite deftly sliced my Cermet sample into hair-thin slivers with a diamond saw, then inserted half of them into the cooler through one of the tubes. "What are you doing with a diamond saw?" I asked. That made her smile.
"What are you doing without one?" she countered.
"Huh?"
"I had hoped we'd pick up samples of Venusian rock. The saw can slice thin specimens for the microscope."
"Oh, of course," I said. I knew that. I simply didn't think of it at that moment.
"I would have thought," she went on, "that a planetary scientist would have this kind of equipment with him for geological investigations."
I felt my brow furrow. "Come to think of it, I believe I do." She laughed.
"I know you do, Van. I stole this from the equipment stores that you had marked for your use."
She'd been teasing me. To hide my embarrassment, I bent over and peered into the narrow little window in the cooler's lid. All I could see inside was a grayish fog. "That's actual Venusian air inside there?" I asked.
"Yes," she replied,
frowning slightly.
"I was drawing it off from the main probe we've been using for the nephelometers and mass spectrometers."
I caught her accent on the past tense. "Was?" She made an irritated huffing sound, very much like her mother.
"The probes have been shut down. Captain's orders."
"Why would she—" Then I realized. "She doesn't want to run the risk of having the bugs break loose inside the ship."
"That's right," Marguerite said. "So I've got this sample and that's all. No replacements."
And yet she acted as if she thought I was crazy when I told her the bugs ate the suits and the railing. Marguerite shrugged as if it weren't important to her. But it was to me. "She's a first-class hypocrite, your mother," I said with some heat.
"She's the ship's captain," Marguerite answered stiffly. "She might think your idea's crazy, but the safety of this ship and crew is her responsibility, and she's decided not to take any unnecessary risks."
I could see the logic in that. But still, she sent Yates and Sakamoto out to repair the shell.
"That's necessary. There's no getting around it."
"Perhaps," I admitted reluctantly. "But she shouldn't let them stay out too long."
"How long is too long?"
"How long were Rodriguez and I outside? Both our suits were damaged." Marguerite nodded.
"I'm sure she's watching their readouts."
The timer on the cooler chimed, ending our conversation. Marguerite drew out a sample of the Venusian air, rich with sulfuric acid droplets and the organisms that lived in them. Quickly she prepared a microscope slide and put the display onto the screen of the laptop computer she had plugged into the electron microscope.
"They're recovering," she said happily. "Look at how vigorously they're swimming around."
"But where's the suit material?" I asked. She turned from the laptop to stare at me.
"It's gone. They've digested the Cermet. It's food for them."
Deadly decisions. I raced along the passageway to the bridge. Duchamp was in her command chair, as usual. I could hear Yates's voice puffing with exertion.
"Going a lot slower than I expected. This is tough work, let me tell you."
"You've got to bring them back inside," I said to Duchamp. "Now, before the bugs kill them."
Rodriguez was not on the bridge.